Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, self-development in formal 360 degree. Here we go. Every manager I know wants more performance communications from their boss, right?
Yep.
And it's a promise very few bosses give it.
Yeah, including the bosses who want it from their boss. Yeah, agreed.
Oh, you think so?
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. And if you're a manager and you have thoughts about further managerial roles or executive life for that matter, what can you do to politely and professionally get some insight, just some, into what your boss thinks about your abilities? And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and it really boils down to asking three simple questions. And we have five recommendations, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. This is what we have data on. The first thing you got to do is you got to assess your relationship with your boss. There are some bosses that this won't work with because they're not predictable. And so you got to ask yourself that question first. And then you got to ask three questions. First, what leadership skills are my strengths? Right, you're really asking more from a managerial perspective, okay? Second thing is any fatal flaws I need to think about. And third is what one area of improvement would make the most difference? And this is really where this is the question that I think is the beauty of it, because so many people want a list from their boss and then they kill themselves trying to fix the entire list, which is dumb.
Unless you're me, I ask for the one area and I get 50 zillion. It's like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, the 50 zillion is not terribly helpful. And then the last thing is, folks, you cannot be asking this unless you intend to show visible evidence of progress that you've made against what your boss says are concerns. We're not telling you you're wrong to not ask. If you don't believe you can improve, fine. But if you're going to ask, you need to be willing to do something about it.
All right. So what's this about assessing your relationship with your boss? Yeah. Why would you do that?
Well, come on, right? I mean, we know this, right? It's part of the reason why you don't give feedback to your boss.
I know, because it's in the show notes.
Yeah. You can't, this is not direct tools. It's manager tools, okay? And our vision of organizations is an individual with directs. In this cast, we want you to become a better manager, and your boss does have some insight into that. Now, you may choose to discount it, and that's completely reasonable, and we will totally have your back if you say, nope, can't do it. Let me tell you two or three of the things my boss has done in the last year. Be like, yeah, okay, I hear you. Don't ask him. He's a jerk. Okay? If you have a difficult or an unpredictable boss, don't ask her. Okay? If you have an unethical or an unprofessional boss who could potentially use your question in designed to get some honest growth guidance from him or her, if they could use it as a sign of weakness, don't do it. You know, in fact, we call this an informal 360, Mike, but let's be clear. It's really not a 360, because a 360 would require you to ask these questions of your boss and your peers and your directs. We're simply glomming on to the idea of a 360, meaning you request feedback from your boss, but you could easily call this any other thing. But generally, most people don't say, hey, can I go to my boss and ask for guidance? Look, you don't ask your boss if he or she is swamped with work. Please don't do this. This is a busy time. If you're listening to this cast for the first time and you're in a busy time of the year, don't ask. Don't ask if he's under the gun for something, if he's got a big project. And look, don't ask if you know he's not going to give anything helpful. Now, I say no. I really do mean no. A lot of people say, I don't think he will. I don't want to run the risk. Okay, that's fine. You don't want to run the risk. We actually think there's a risk that you're living with, which is you don't know what your boss doesn't like about you. And if you did know, you might be able to change it. But as we've said many times in this show, you're on the ground, you're there, you know the situation. Only ask your boss if you believe that the questions will be received reasonably and fairly, they won't be used against you, and you believe you might get something back that could be helpful. But there is risk here, and only you can assess that risk. But look, if you have a cordial relationship with your boss, if you haven't seen evidence of vindictiveness, if she's not cruel, if he's not mean-spirited, then go ahead and ask. Maybe a simple way to think of it is, if you have doubts, pause. If you have doubts again in a week, don't ask. And recognize that you want to be the kind of boss that doesn't give your people the excuse of not asking you because you put doubts in their mind regarding your vindictiveness or your unprofessionalism or anything else. Whatever you don't like in your boss ought to be going in your Delta file, about which we have a podcast, folks. You could look it up so that you don't do that to your directs.
Good. Okay, so let's get to the first question we recommend you ask your boss. And technically, I guess this is really the second question, right? Because the first question would be something like, would you give me some development help, or would you be willing to give me some guidance about how to improve my
performance? Yeah, you don't just walk in and say, hey, dude, what leadership skills are my strengths, right?
Right.
Yeah, you preface it, sure, yeah.
And that's the question, right? So the second question, after you've asked for some help, is what leadership skills are my strengths? So let me ask you, though, you're asking for help, yet your first question is about your strengths. Why is that?
Dude, it's a no-brainer. Because if you ask for weaknesses from a boss who hasn't been giving you enough information, so much so that you have to ask him, what makes you think magically he's going to suddenly spill the beans? You always ask for strength first, okay? Too many of us don't give enough performance communications as managers to our directs because we don't like pinching our relationships with our directs, right? That's the big one. It'll be okay. He's good. It'll work itself out.
Mm-hmm. He'll figure it out.
Yeah. But yeah, that the whole he'll figure it out thing. Someday we'll do a cast called Stupid Things Managers Say. And one of them is he'll figure it out. But the problem is if the first question we ask is about our weaknesses, our bosses are probably going to give us a bunch of vague crap. And look, admit it, guys. It's true. It was certainly true for me. It has been true for me. You've thought you could ask your boss for help or development or insight or feedback or guidance. You did. You started with what scared you, your weaknesses, and then your boss demurred. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then you think to yourself, wow, I thought I had a good relationship with her. And then she just totally blew me off. I'm, you know, to hell with this. I'm not asking her anymore. But again, why are we having to ask for this kind of guidance to begin with? Because our boss has already shown a lasting, if you've been there a year or two, it's probably a year or two's worth, a lasting willingness to avoid sharing negative performance communications. And suddenly, because we ask, right, when the boss is least expecting it, they're suddenly going to blossom into a font of wisdom and guidance?
Not like,
no, it's really not. So look, it just makes sense. You don't go asking for negatives if your boss has given you a track record that says, I'm not going to give you negatives. So you warm him up a little bit and you ask him for what you do well. And so you say, what leadership skills are my strengths? Now, look, don't come crying to me, folks, later if you ask and the boss says, well, none really stand out. Because I'll say this again later in the cast, but it's better to know. It's always better to know. It may make you uncomfortable, but it'll be a more actionable kind of discomfort than the discomfort you've probably gotten comfortable with today.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's get to the harder question. And that harder question is, any fatal flaws I need to consider? And a lot of bosses get that wrong.
Yeah, and the reason they get it wrong is because they haven't thought of it that way. They don't really understand the fatal flaw, and they take it as an entree into a discussion of weakness. But I'm going to put that aside for a second. Okay, this is the right question to ask because it narrows focus. But the majority of bosses, the reason we recommend this because we have data to suggest it works the vast majority of the time, the majority of bosses don't answer the question you put to them. I think some of them haven't read Greek tragedies to know what hamartia is, but anyway, it's probably going to be the case, not 90% of the time, but probably 55-60% of the time, your boss is going to give you a litany of weaknesses. Well, I'd like to do that, you need to do that better, and this and that. Okay.
Yeah. And you fall over and faint because you weren't ready for it.
Yeah. But hopefully that's what this cast is about, right? You're going to ask a specific question, an intelligent question designed to get you a specific answer, and your boss is probably going to stumble over it. Okay. Let's get past that and let's remember why we're asking, which is, can I learn some things that I may be able to make better so that I'll look better at my boss and I'll be more effective with my team and so on. When your boss responds with a long list of stuff you didn't ask for, guys, shut the hell up and write it all down and be as thankful as you possibly can be. Don't argue. Don't disagree. Dear God, don't tell your boss, actually, I really only asked about a fatal flaw. You don't need to give me a list of all the stuff I messed up. I know what I meant. Yeah, I mean, you can't even keep a straight face, can you? Don't argue. Don't disagree. Don't demur. Don't ask for anything more than some simple elaboration on any points that he or she makes that you may have. You literally don't understand. That's the standard. If you understand what they're saying, don't ask for examples. Don't ask for a discussion. Just write the stuff down. You walked in. You asked for time. You said, can you give me some help? And then you get given what your boss thinks is help, and then you're going to argue with him? You wouldn't want to do that to me. You're like, dude, pick. Go back to the old way. Dude, pick. One or the other. Go back to the old way or listen to me as I answer your question. And by the way, don't tell him, well, actually, I only asked for a fatal flaw, so pick one, please, and I'll work on that. No, you don't do that. And I guess our point here is don't get in the way, okay? Even if your boss didn't hear what you wanted him to hear, which is the question, any fatal flaws, which is big, big, big. A big thing that everybody ought to know relative to what their boss thinks about them, your boss probably won't hear it and he'll give you the list.
So, okay, let's say the boss does that. Let's help people instead of just telling them what not to do.
Yeah.
What do they do when they get that big long list from their boss?
Sit down, shut up, and write everything as fast as you possibly can. I mean, yeah, I got to tell you, we had a discussion here recently in the company about something that went wrong. And the first response I got from somebody on the team was, well, I just want you to know what I did. And I said, you know what? There's nothing we can do about what happened last week. But when you start telling me that what you did and how it made sense to you and how it was right, you're proving to me you're defensive. And defensive people don't brainstorm well about how to solve the problem that the errors we all made brought to the surface, right? It's crazy. So in the event you get a list, the simple job that you have is to capture whatever you're told. Now, look, afterwards, you can ask yourself, what the heck did he mean? Do I really think I could fix this? And the answer is, you know, if he gives you 10 things, can you fix all of it? The answer is probably not. Then the question maybe is, should I fix all of it? And the answer again is probably not. And then you get a list of 10 things when in fact you only ask for one fatal flaw. Because he's the boss or she's the boss and they can get away with answering what they want to answer rather than the actual question you put to them. You might be saying, am I a complete moron in this guy's mind because he's given me a list of 10 things? And the answer to that one is, no, you're not. He might be because he clearly didn't answer the question that was put to him while surely expecting you to answer all the questions he puts to you precisely the way he asked them. Look, the reason we ask for a fatal flaw is because we wanted to avoid the list, which really doesn't allow successful action on any of the fronts. I mean, maybe you'll get lucky and pick the one that's most important, but usually you won't. So we ask to avoid that list and to concentrate your boss's mind, right? We don't ask, guys, don't twist this guidance. We don't say, what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses, right? What is the first question we ask? What leadership skills are my strengths? And then we're asking any fatal flaws. In other words, single, really important ones. Now, I suppose it does say flaws, period. But if you have like 9 fatal flaws, I think you're dead. I think there's a rule. I think cats have 9 lives and managers have 9 fatal flaws and then they're dead.
Yeah, you can only miss so many vital organs.
Yeah, we laugh and we're trying to make light of this, guys. But you don't have 9 fatal flaws. Trust me. Okay. This is what I tell my friends. You don't have 9 fatal flaws. You ask for fatal flaws, and your boss is being overly simplistic and just giving you a litany of weaknesses. And thank the Lord for all of us. We all have weaknesses. And most of us don't have fatal flaws. And if your boss is really a good listener, you're going to be told what your strengths are. You're not going to be told what your fatal flaws are. And then you're going to be able to go and ask finally about areas of improvement, which is the third question. So we want to concentrate your boss's mind. If your boss does actually answer the question about what your fatal flaws are, either direct answer, either one, either you have one, that's one answer, and here it is, you stink at X, or you don't, is a good answer. In other words, you don't have any fatal flaws. Because even if you have one, it's far better to know about it than to not know about it. That's part of the beauty of these questions, provided, again, that you have a good relationship with your boss. Okay?
All right. Now, again, you said earlier, the right response here is to accept what you're being told.
Yes.
And to just write it down like a madman, right?
Yeah.
And not, as you're listening, evaluate their critique or the suggestions, right? But simply to write it down and evaluate it later.
You know, I've said this several times at conferences lately, and I said it in Mexico City last week about how defensiveness is the enemy of learning, right? In the same way that feedback is about future behavior. We're not trying to punish somebody for a mistake they made this morning. We're not even trying to praise them for something they did good this morning. We're trying to affect future behavior because there's nothing we can do about the past. Defensiveness, describing why you did what you did, is a clear sign to executives that you're not ready to move on. Everybody is expected to make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. It's not okay to make a mistake and then spend all your time defending it. Because, first of all, it comes across as emotionally and therefore professionally immature. And it also says, I'm not interested in the future. You have to agree with me that what I did was right. Well, of course, if we agreed with everybody who thought they were right about the things they did in the past, we'd all be stultified. Nothing would happen because everybody always believes what they're doing makes sense and is right and so on. But that doesn't help us get better. So, yeah, the right answer is stay frosty, write everything down. And look, if you don't have a fatal flaw in your boss's mind, you don't need to dig for it. Okay, the next question is going to help us with that.
Okay, so let's talk about the next question. And this is the one question I think everybody forgets to ask.
Yeah, this is it. This is the big one.
Yeah, what one area of improvement would make the most difference?
Yeah, too many bosses give us a list, right? And then this question is not asked. And too many of us then waste our energies, I mentioned this earlier, across a broad range of efforts, right? None of which gets enough of our time or attention to cause any appreciable change. And I use the word appreciably specifically in order to suggest, I know you can make changes in any of these areas. The question is whether or not the change is appreciable. In other words, your boss would appreciate it.
Right.
The reason we ask this question is it works in either case. If you're given a list, you want to narrow the list. If you're told nothing on the fatal flaw, the weakness of the fatal flaw question is it becomes really stark if you don't ask this question to follow up. If you ask your boss for strengths and then you ask for fatal flaws, and the boss says, yeah, you got a couple of strengths and you don't have any fatal flaws at all, then people are like, okay, I'm cool. Well, that's not how bosses think. Now, it's possible your boss misanswers the fatal flaw question and give you a list. That's still good. And that's why we ask this next question, the last question, which is, okay, basically, what should I be working on? And if you have a fatal flaw, obviously, you don't ask this last question, right? Because the area of improvement that would make the most difference is obviously the fatal flaw. You know, if your toe hurts and your fingernail is sore and your elbow is bleeding, but you have a large steak protruding from your chest, yeah, the doctor's probably going to worry about the steak first. So when we triage, obviously we focus on the most important thing first. And if you have a fatal flaw, that would be triaged first. And obviously you'd focus on that. But if you get a list, then you'll be able to say, okay, what should I be working on?
There you go. And of course, unless you intend to provide visible evidence of progress and do something about this, then don't ask the question.
Yeah, don't ask and then not improve. It's almost like, hey, I'm a little Potemkin village over here. Please, I don't really want to actually work harder. I just want you to think I'm working harder. Please ignore me now. Okay, I did the right thing. Check that box. He's interested in self-improvement. Oh my gosh. If you just want to know, don't ask. You don't get paid for knowing. You get paid for doing. Because folks, if you ask, the cat is out of the bag. And now you, I know this is going to sound weird, but now your boss knows that you know what he felt. Before, for most bosses, he or she had thoughts that, let's say, she couldn't share or she could have shared, but didn't.
Right. And they own it.
Yeah.
They understand that. It's your end of year review, right? Where the boss doesn't tell you something. They don't generally don't nail you for something that they should have told you
right
about last year. But now that he's shared it with you.
Yeah, you own it.
The
burden,
it's on you.
Yeah, the burden shifts to you. Exactly. So carry the burden or don't ask. Now, look, if you get a list of 10 things and the boss seems to think they're all important and then he's not willing to say where you would focus on. Okay, fine. It's still better than not knowing. List the 10, rank them in whatever order you want. Most value in terms of changing or easiest ones to change to show your boss. But whatever you do, come up with a plan. Doesn't have to be a 50-page project plan, but come up with a plan for knocking them out one at a time. Don't try to change all 10 all at once. But if you, as Mike says, if you really don't intend to work that hard, unless it's going to be obvious to him, don't bother asking. And we just saved you a bunch of time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Cool.
So again, assess your relationship with your boss. There are some bosses you can't ask these questions to. Then there are the three questions, which is what leadership skills are my strengths? Are there any fatal flaws I ought to be worried about? Which often gets misanswered, and we know how to handle that now. And then what one area of improvement would make the most difference? And then remember, you've got to make headway. Otherwise, you're seen as just marketing rather than actually selling. So if you have a good relationship with your boss, ask. And then work on improving yourself. And if you need help on how to improve, come to the forums or send us a mail. We'll help.
There you go. All right, my friend. Thanks.
Thanks, partner.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope we'll see you back here again next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.